Turn to Genesis chapter 3.
One of the papers I have to do, this was a course I took last year in medical counseling, which just fits in with what I do as a chaplain. The other fellows in my class, they're all pastors, which is nice. But me being a chaplain, I'm into medicine, and I love medicine. I love hospitals. I like to visit hospitals. Genesis chapter 3. Subject matter is, what is the Christian philosophy of medicine? What is the Christian philosophy of medicine? So let me just give you a paraphrase of the paper that I'm writing. It doesn't have to be a long paper. Thank God. I don't write long papers. So Genesis chapter 3 is key in understanding the Christian philosophy of medicine. Now, before I begin all that, again, within a Christian perspective, when we talk about philosophy and theology, as far as we're concerned, philosophy and theology are one and the same. You're not going to get that in school. I don't even know whether a Christian school is going to tell you that. And certainly secular school, philosophy is so much grander. Theology is a subset, a biased, prejudicial, primitive subset of philosophy and so forth and so on. It just depends on which professor you talk to, but it's pretty much the coin of the realm in the secular schools and so forth and so on. But from a Christian perspective, philosophy means what? What's the word philosophy mean? Philosophy means what? Philosophia. The love of wisdom. See, the love of wisdom. And of course, what does Proverbs say about wisdom? Where does wisdom come from? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of Sophia, knowledge and wisdom. So theology and philosophy are one in the same there. I remember I was struggling for years. Well, what does philosophy do? What does theology do? You keep your barriers, you keep your boundaries and so forth. No crossover, you get conniptions and whatever. And finally, one of my professors said, "Ah, bosh, they're the same thing, for heaven's sakes, for the Christian." Yeah. You know, you're thinking that, and after a while, you begin to realize, that's right. That's what it is. And don't think that when you finally get into non-Christian philosophy, oh, well, that's philosophy, that's not theology. Baloney. All one and the same. Who is your God? Who runs your world? It's a philosophic, theological question. So, this is on the philosophy of medicine. It could be the theology of medicine, Christian theology, or Christian philosophy of medicine. And what I've learned in my studies is you don't get a whole lot of books on that. They'll talk about the history of medicine, and I love the history of medicine. Oh, history of surgery. I got a book on the tragedies of the history of surgery. That's fun to read just before you go into the hospital. And I work with these guys all the time. Boy. I can't tell too many stories, but I have enough to keep you going. Right. Genesis chapter 3. What's fundamental to a Christian? Here, my paper begins with this way. Christian philosophy of medicine is built on the foundation of the biblical ground motive of creation, fall, and redemption in Christ as revealed in the Bible. Christian philosophy of medicine is built on the foundation of the biblical ground motive of creation, fall, and redemption. The story of the Bible is one story. You talk to a rabbi, it's 66 stories, or 39 stories, or they count 22 books of the Old Testament. You count 39. Same amount of material. So the theology of Isaiah is wonderful. Theology of Joshua is something different. Theology of the Psalms is different. The theology of Jeremiah and so forth. So for them, it's a collection of varieties, the great multiplicity of varieties of philosophies and theologies in the Bible. We look at it and say, no, this is all one. Whatever Moses said is what Jeremiah said, is what Nehemiah said, is what Jesus said, and so forth. We believe there's one story made up of scores of narratives, scores of different stories. So that's why I opened up with Christian philosophy is built upon this ground motive of creation, fall, redemption. One creation, one fall, and only one redemption. Though all different faiths talk about some sort of creation, some sort of corruption, sin, or call it something psychosis or something else, which, and one kind of redemption. And again, everybody, Christians and non-Christians, do talk about redemption. I remember when George Bush the first was running for office, while I was still in San Francisco, and the second section of the San Francisco Chronicle, big headline was concerning George Bush, "Can this man be saved?" I thought that was perfect. Now, they weren't talking about Christianity. Oh, you better believe they were talking theology. It was politics, granted, but they were talking theology. So it was quite interesting. Can this man be saved? He lost that particular election. I go on to say this. We've got to go back to the creation story to find out where medicine begins. Where does medicine begin? God created medicine. Okay? Now, the interesting thing is, when God created medicine, he didn't create medicine like he created the dog. I mean, he created the dog there, and he created the plants over there, and he created a river over there, created a human being over there, and so forth and so on. That's not medicine. Medicine's not a thing. Medicine is, what would you say, what is medicine? In its broadest sense, what is medicine? Go ahead.
Cure?
I'm asking that question because nobody says the same thing. All the books that I got, everybody says the medicine is this and this and this. It's a variety of things. So I'm trying to come across medicine in its broadest sense. My son, yes?
Nutrition.
You're getting very close to it. Now, I work with these two gals in my office. They're both nutritionists. And I gave them a lecture the other day. A biblical view of nutrition. Nutritionism, from a biblical perspective. They're not Christian. They don't know how to deal with it. Yeah. So, but I'm there to encourage them. So medicine begins with God's creation. Medicine is created in you. If I say God created reason, God created logic, God created calculations of the mind, it's not over there. Where is it? It's here. I'm the one that calculates. Trees don't. Dogs don't. But humans do. So when God created a human being in the image of God, a host of things are in there, of which one is medicine. I'm using medicine now, defining medicine in its broad sense. Medicine, though, has a peculiarness to it, and that is, even in your own experience, it deals with alleviation of, fill in the blank, alleviation of
illness,
disease. How about pain? Because most of the time, when you go to the doctor, If you got pain, you go to the doctor because you have pain. Now, if you didn't have any pain, you wouldn't go to the doctor, right? Maybe they force you to go, and so forth. You're looking weird. Your eye isn't working there. If you don't know that, it doesn't feel like anything, so you're forced to go. But if you're going to go, your main concern is to deal with the pain. And the first thing you want is stop the pain. And then you want to find out how to get rid of the pain, what the source of the etiology of where the source of the pain is, and so forth and so on. And when the worst diagnosis is what? What's the worst diagnosis the doctor gives you? Huh? No. Worst diagnosis is, we don't know what it is. Tell me it's a dreaded disease, you know. I can handle that. We can deal with that. But when they say, then they put down in the chart autoimmune. That's virtually everything, if anything. Autoimmune, diabetes, autoimmune, and so forth. That means your body's just working against itself. Well, sure it is, and I want to know why. I want to stop that. So medicine at its broadest is the alleviation, to some extent, of illness, a disease, a brokenness, a disjointedness. What is health, then? Now, again, the articles and the books that I'm reading on that have a variety of questions because you want good health, too. Quite frankly, I could put up with a lot of pains and still be in good health. I know. I got five more minutes. Okay. Five more minutes. Okay. So here's my answer. Medicine comes not only as a creation of God, but as a result of the fall into sin. Creation, fall, and redemption are the three premises of Christian philosophy and theology. Creation, God had created. Number two, fall into sin. If you're talking about alleviation. Now, if you notice in Genesis chapter 3, I haven't read it yet, I'm assuming you know it. So they've sinned. So what's the next thing happened? They ate the fruit. What's the next thing that happens? You can look at the text. Next thing that happens. Their eyes are open and they saw that they were naked. Okay, then what do? They went to the trees and found relief. They used leaves. I don't know whether big palm leaves or little tiny things they knit together or glued together, however it was. But there is the first medicine. It's nutrition. The most primitive thing. When I was diagnosed with diabetes 35 years ago, first thing I said to the doctor, I gave him my symptoms. First thing the doctor said to me, stop drinking sugar. Cokes, coffee, whatever, orange juice, whatever it was. First thing is nutrition. It is the cheapest, and you got to survive. And for the rest of my life, whether I take insulin, pills, whatever it is, I got to work with nutrition. So this was my little lecture to my nutritionist people, that they come with the cheapest and the most fundamental medicine. Now, you get a glimpse of that. They knew that there was wrong. Their eyes were open, and they were in trouble with God. And they used leaves to alleviate the problem. Now, of course, that's not the way to do it. But nonetheless, biblically, the notion of leaves healing is a metaphor used throughout Scripture. Look at Revelation 22, verse 2. 22:2. Look at Revelation 22:2. Revelation 22:2. Revelation 22 says, what? Paul, you got it?
Through the middle of the street of the city, also on either side of the river, the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation.
Okay. Now, I don't take that in a literal sense, but it has a literalness to it, and it quite frankly, that's what medicine still is in a real sense, a covering of the infirmity of sorts, whether it's psychological, emotional, physical, spiritual, whatever. We need a covering, and God provided a better covering. What did God provide for Adam and Eve? Animal skins. And again, the implication is the death of an animal. Shed blood is involved with this, and that the atonement is called, the word atonement, in Hebrew, means to cover. The Hebrew word is kafar. Okay? That's easy to remember that. That means a covering. Leaves won't do it. But medicine is much broader than that. Now, over time, medicine has been boiled down to taking care of headaches and appendicitis and particular bodily diseases, even in animals or trees as well. So medicine finds its source in God, the Creator, as a result of the fall into sin, and redemption in Jesus Christ. Ultimately, all the healings that Jesus does were glimpses of the ultimate healing. And the ultimate healing is what? What is the ultimate? When will we be completely healed of all diseases? In the resurrection. That's at the second coming, that's true. It has its source in the cross. Absolutely, shed blood of Christ is the source of that. But in the end, it's perfection and so on. That's the total healing. So every minuscule healing, the hand crooked, eyes blind, dumb, or deaf, so forth, those were all mini expressions of that ultimate healing that we have in Christ. But we still experience that in a natural way. God can still heal us today. Sometimes instantly, sometimes with doctors, sometimes without doctors. But all the expressions of God's grace, and all because of the root of it is in the fall, the corruption that came in the fall and sin. So that's just an overview. The first pain that's mentioned in the Bible is what?
Pain.
childbirth, and also coupled with that, gardening. You know, pulling the weeds and all that kind of stuff. My mother wanted me to read a weed. I thought she said read. Couldn't believe it. She wanted me to go out and weed the garden, and I took a book out there, and she said, "Oh, that's not right." So anyway, the first pain would be in terms of childbirth. Now, pain is not sin. Pain is a bell, an alarm for what the corruption of sin brings to your life and so forth. So you'll listen to the pain. Those that don't have pain, doesn't mean they're sick. Doesn't mean they're not sick. Okay, dear. I got to go. So there is just an opening of that little paper I share with you. If you have any other ideas, for sure share it with me. I have to get this paper done in 10 days. But that's also three other papers that I got to do, too. Okay, let's close with a word of prayer. Thank you, Father, for the worship service we had and the preaching of the word. Knowing not only how to pray, but what to pray. And knowing the confidence that when we pray according to His will, we know that He hears it. And He gives us that answer in His time and in His way and in His place, Lord. And help us to learn what that means, too, in the light of Your Word. Bless us as we continue to worship and rest on the Lord's Day. Bring us back together again for more worship. Bless us throughout the remainder of the week to serve You, and to minister to the pain that people struggle with by the gospel of Jesus Christ. In His name, amen.